sexy people of the internet. It is Dave, it is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from progressive death metal band Doth.
That's right, we know how to pronounce your name. Dave didn't have to go online and spend countless minutes listening to interviews to work out how that is. We got it right first time.
I knew that.
First time, Dave.
The band's new album, The Deceivers, will be released on May 3rd via Metal Blade Records. Okay, so lauded progressive death metal band Doth have emerged from its 13-year hiatus.
Right, this makes sense to me because right. I remember these guys.
Yes.
But I also, at the same time, had clearly just been like that. Nope, brain does not need to retain this at all. I get the feeling I know these guys because of their drummer. Is that right?
Probably their once known drummer, Kevin Talley, possibly.
That's it. And he played in the band with Dino Cazares as well, didn't he?
Oh,
what was their name again?
Is that the Divine Heresy?
Yes. Did he play in Divine Heresy? No.
Chimera. He played in Chimera.
Chimera, that's what it was. I knew it was a Roadrunner band, right?
Yes.
I remember there was a big deal about this Doth drummer going off to play in this, let's be honest, bigger band.
Yeah.
And like what the effect might be in terms of bringing an audience back. Is he still drumming this band, or am I just on a segue which is not fucking needed?
It does not. They've now got Krim playing drums.
Oh, holy fuck.
So, yeah, who plays in Septic Flesh.
Yeah,
and other artists. He plays with loads of bands, but.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so he's now in the band. So 13 years back with The Deceivers. The band's founder, guitarist Eyal Levy, has overseen an overhaul of the lineup though importantly, Doth still features Force of Nature vocalist Sean Zatorski, who has fronted the band since 2007.
Nice.
Doth circa 2024 finds Levy determined to expand on the oral and lyrical journey he set out on when the band first formed in 1999.
Holy fuck, shit.
We are doing all those things that I felt were missing in the past. Knowing that vision up front, it made it very easy to choose new band members who were already doing that sort of thing. Levy and Sean Z are now joined by Krim on drums, Jesse Zaretti on orchestration and guitar, lead guitarist Rafael Trujillo, and bassist David Marvaglio.
David is playing bass.
David on bass. when putting the new lineup together, Levy and Zatorski vowed not to settle in any way, shape or form. Either the band members would be a perfect fit or they would have to keep looking. And that meant finding musicians who were as good at writing as they were at playing. The album title is a continuation of a theme that began with 2007's The Hinderers and continued with 2009's The Concealers. Those titles are about the outside world. They're not about us. While they touch on the self-destruction and self-deception we all occasionally fall victim to, this album is a scathing critique and exploration of certain societal elements, the deceivers and obstructors in life, those who impede your progress through subterfuge and manipulation. Levy believes that this is the most focused and deadly version of the band to date and is excited about what's in store. The chemistry is great because we can talk about stuff that would normally be uncomfortable for a lot of musicians to do without causing problems, he says. He's lived a lot of life since the band went away over a decade ago and admits that his mindset is very different now than it was during the original run. We're taking this to its full potential, letting nothing and nobody stand in our way. If you're not going all out, then what is the point? The 9 tracks were produced by Levy with Andrew Wade doing vocal production, John Douglas engineering, Jens Borgen mixing, and Tony Lindgren doing the mastering. Okay, so this is a bit of a treat, to be honest, reviewing Doth in 2024. I genuinely thought this band were done, finished. And then last year we heard rumblings of Doth getting back together and new material. I was like, fuck, what is going on? The guitarist, Eyal, he'd said, remember years ago, he'd said like he wasn't interested in even playing guitar again. Like it was like he was done. And then I think it was during lockdown, he kind
of... a lot of bands were like... So a lot of people are... I give you like 3 months in kind of fucking self-isolation before that guitar starts looking real good. You know what I mean? You're like, I'll just pick up for a... Just pick up and just see if I can still remember it. You're like fucking shredding like shit, and then you've written an album a week later and you're like, well, how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, he seemed to find his love for playing again. And I'm glad he did, because I kind of feel like this band were one of the more underrated kind of death metal bands.
At the time, I think death metal has moved on a bit since then. There probably will be, if people go back and check those albums out, there'll be a greater appreciation for what they were doing, because the audience is a little bit more mature now. It's not just blast beats. Like, if you cast yourself back to the early 2000s, if you were a death metal band and you weren't blasting every second, then it was like, oh, they're sellouts. Even stuff like orchestration, that was a niche audience for that. Whereas now, if you think about how progressive death metal has kind of really pushed everyone to accept since virtuoso playing, symphonics, just like, and stuff that doesn't require blast beats from start to finish. The audience is smarter now.
I was a big fan of this band back in the day. Big fan of The Hinderers when it came out in 2007, which feels like a fucking lifetime ago now. But and then obviously they had Concealers, which came out a couple of years later, when that kind of heard their sound get even heavier, more focused. And then they're self-titled in 2010, which was another solid album. Maybe didn't bring a huge amount, you know, that was different to the table on that album. And then it wasn't long after that when they kind of called it a day. But I was really interested to hear what this would sound like in 2024, because there's quite a gap, you know, between the last album. And things have definitely got interesting on this one, I must admit. They were always a band that had, like, and it was one of the main reasons I loved them, they always had riffs for days. Like, every album was just packed with really cool riffs. And that hasn't changed at all. This is another, like, feast of progressive death, groove-laden riffs. But what I'm kind of most pleased about on this release is the fact that they've tried to kind of push the boundaries of the Doth sound. This is by far the most grand, majestic kind of thing they've done in their career. They were a band that, if you go back and listen to the old albums, they dabbled very minimally in the orchestration. It wasn't a huge part of their sound. You know, occasionally they would kind of lean into it. To be honest, not so much on the last two albums, the first album a little bit, a wee bit on the Hinderers, but this time around they've went all in on that.
Oh yeah, this is balls deep.
Yes, and I think that's partly down to having someone like Jesse in the band, who's the guy that's doing like the orchestration. He has a background in composing, so I think that's obviously made that transition much easier. He used to work for Marvel doing like composition and soundtracks and stuff.
This makes a little bit, we're gonna get to it in a minute, but there's a couple of choices here which do remind me very much of movie scores.
All right, okay.
In a really cool way where I was like, oh, you fucking didn't. Oh, you did. I love this. So
he's now working at Riot Games, working as a composer there as well, so he knows his stuff. And his kind of contribution to the album sounds pretty incredible, to be honest. It feels like the kind of missing piece of this band's sound. I know I'd said they kind of touched on it, but here, like, it kind of ties everything together on this album. And I think, you know, sometimes parts of their albums prior to this became a little bit fragmented at times. But here it sounds huge. It sounds very kind of cinematic, very thematic sounding, you know. Mentioned Septic Flesh earlier, it's that kind of level of grandeur on this album. But that's like not the only elevation they made on this release. The melody and the lead work on this has increased like tenfold, and it's delivered in a kind of kind of haunting type way, almost kind of like balances out the heavier guitars, giving you like an album that sounds like it has much more depth and much more kind of layers. And that's great as a listener to kind of delve into that. There's so much going on here. It reminded me, actually, when I was listening to bits and pieces of it, reminded me of a band from mega years ago called Seven Horns, Seven Eyes.
Yeah, I loved that album. Yeah, that's a rock and reels.
Loved those guys. And they had that like really like crushing heaviness, but it was infused with this like melancholic kind of melody. Or I mean, even like a band like Feared to do a kind of similar thing as well. They've got that kind of similar idea. And Doth, like the sound on this, they've nailed that. That kind of balance on this album is incredible. It's very tastefully done. It's put in the right places just to, you know, elevate a section or lift the mood of a section. So when you combine like those newer ideas with the kind of the groovier kind of riff heavy death metal side of their sound that we're used to, it makes probably one of the most comprehensive releases we've had to date from this band. It has everything you'd want from a Doth album, but with arrangements and compositional ideas that takes this band's sound to the next level. And I think that's what we're all kind of hoping for in this new release. As cool as it is to hear them back in action, another album that sounded like The Concealers.
It would be cool. There's a few bands that did that. Much as I love bands reuniting because of lockdown, there's a lot of bands that came back and released albums which showed that nothing had happened in 10 years.
Absolutely, it's like, and it'd be nothing we'd heard them like do before, but instead they've delivered a release that still sounds like Doth, but they've like almost like injected it with steroids. And I mean, like the first track, that No Rest, No End, there was a couple of moments in that first track I was like, this is verging on like Cult of Lilith kind of levels of epicosity, for want of a better word. They class themselves as, is it necromechanical baroque or something like that. But that first track, there was little moments I was like, oh, it's kind of like, it's kind of touching on the little kind of baroque kind of feel to it at times, which was really cool. However, my favourite part of the album was probably tracks 4 and 5, which is with Ill Desire and The Silent Foray.
Silent Foray has the best Lamb of God riff that Lamb of God have not written in like 20 years. There's a groove riff on that one which just, it is hard not to just pull a stank face and headbang at your desk.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things I loved about those tracks. That the tonal vocals on with Ill Desire were amazing, like huge sounding, a real kind of standout moment on that track. But even down to like the vocal rhythms on the track were really clever as well. The vocals never really get lost in the mix, which is quite an achievement considering like everything that's going on here musically. But I think a lot of that is down to the vocal placement and Sean knowing not to try and like compete directly with the, you know, the lead work or like a really riffy part of the song. Silent Foray is the longest track on the album.
It has a kind of almost fake close, which I love about it, where instrumentation comes in that you would just expect would close the track out and lead into the next one. Yeah. And I remember when it came up and I was like, we are 2 minutes out. I had 2 minutes. I'm down to clown on 2 minutes of instrumentation. And I was like that. Or do they have one more track? Oh, there it's back. It's back. Yep, it's heavy.
I think this could be the highlight of the album for me. Yeah. It kind of feels like a track that has it all. The grooves are insane, absolutely massive. There's Gojira type pick scrapes. There's a huge kind of Pantera like big bendy riff in it as well. There's a ton of tempo shifts. Yeah. The orchestration and the lead work is incredible. That still really caught my ear on that track. The lead work's got a really kind of eerie vibe. And like as the kind of track unfolds, and like it just kind of gets better and better, to be honest, which finishes off, as you said, with a kind of epic ending. There's even some like kind of glitchy kind of drums added in there as well before the big finish, but it's got everything. Absolutely killer track. But then there's moments on the album where they go more extreme as well, on the Unwelcome Return, where they turn the tempo right up, and the guitar works a bit more kind of frantic, but never sounds like messy or like half-assed. Like this sounds meticulous throughout. You can hear there's an incredible level of detail on this one. They are they're just, you know, paying attention to everything that's going on. Every note is kind of merited on this album. And that track, Unwelcome Return, it had a little bit of a kind of Xerath kind of vibe. They were a kind of UK kind of symphonic kind of death metal band. But they were quite heavy on the groove, and so is this track. It gets into that kind of groovier territory at a point, and I was like, oh yeah, this is my jam, this is awesome. Yeah, this is killer. Like, I was hoping for a kind of return to form on this one. And this one, it sounds like musically the band are on fire. Definitely the tightest release they've put out, probably by a country mile. And production wise, it's like immaculate. You could eat your dinner off this production. I think this could be the best Doth album to date. I think time will tell. I've only been listening to this for a couple of weeks, but it's exciting, because if this is the level they are operating at now, then the sky is the limit. Like, they could go on to do huge, huge things. So yeah, what about yourself? What do you think?
So it's one of those ones where you get excited when, like you mentioned before, when bands come back, and when bands come back better,
yeah,
it gets even more exciting. I don't want to throw the cat amongst the pigeons at all, but for me, like, Job for a Cowboy in 2024 are infinitely more interesting to me now than they were when they were around a decade ago. Yeah. I just prefer them doing what they do now. I prefer Doth doing what they're doing now than what they were doing before. I think they've found a balance in songwriting and composition which is at such a high level. Just the detail on this album is absolutely insane across all instruments, delivery and production. Mentioned earlier on about those things that remind me of soundtracks. Purified by Vengeance, which is track 7 on this one here, has like a big old Gojira groove, which I fucking love, right? But it has, like, especially in the intro, it has what I would class as a kind of old-fashioned 1940s spooky synth sound. Like, it kicked in and I was like, what the fuck? And that to me should instantly make it sound cheesy, but it didn't. It was so well chosen for that one section and brought in that I knew I was dealing with something that was just smarter than the kind of average symphonic kind of death metal album. With Ill Desire is, I think, the one where they get all the orchestration pinpoint, because there's a lot on that. There's a lot of stuff happening in the background, but it weaves so seamlessly into the songwriting in the background that it never takes the focal point away from what the riffs are doing, or what the drummer's doing, or what the guitarists are doing, or bass, guitar and vocals, which is important. We talk about this a lot, but synth is a privilege, right? It's not a requirement, right? Like, if you're going to put it in there, you're going to put, like, textured sounds and layered orchestration, that's great. The moment it detracts from what the band's core sound is, you've overdone it a little bit. And this never happens here. It always accentuates, it always lifts or adds a little element, which is really cool to the overall songwriting. The songwriting in this is fucking awesome. Like, this is another one where the heavy groove riffs are, like, head-bangingly good, right? But those savage blast riffs are fucking tight and nasty. And there's such a variety of them. Those clean leads, man. The lead work on this one is just brilliant. You mentioned something in the press statement. Once again, don't read the press statements. But you mentioned something that caught my attention. And it kind of shows a maturity in how they've approached that, which is, we weren't just looking for exceptional musicians, but we're looking for people that could write music. How many bands this long in the tooth, which have that kind of, we have our sound, bring in new members and say, right, you're writing new songs with us? It's few and far between. Most of them are like, we need musicians to come in to play what we give them. You know what I mean? We write the songs because we're the band. You're the guys that are coming in, but you don't get first crack at this first time round.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've done that, I think, shows, one, a level of maturity, but two, I think it shows on this. Like, you listen to this, it just sounds more accomplished. It sounds more cohesive. This one flies in. I mean, this is like, what, 40, 45 minutes maybe at a push, and 9 songs. And I never felt at any point I got lost in anything we're doing, or there was like an ending, or it's like, oh, here we go, or things were taking too long, or we'd overused an idea. And the songs have their own personality, all of them. They try, most of that is done through smart orchestration and kind of composition, but they all flow really, really, really well in together, yeah. And it makes it really interesting. Vocally, this is super strong, man. Like, really, really, really strong. Mm. I don't know if this dude's been doing anything in the last 13 years musically, but he's come back sounding better. So, it's just confidence and delivery, which I just... That's what I kept coming back to in every song. I just felt like this band felt more, like, just more assured and more confident, which doesn't happen after a 13-year layoff. Like, you expect ring rust. You expect the band to come back and play either a little bit too safe or, you know, go a little bit too zany and a little bit too crazy, or try and make their sound fit in with a modern sound. And I don't feel that. I can still hear the connective DNA here. It just feels like this band have spent the last 13 years... It's another prison analogy coming up. The last 13 years, like, shadowboxing in jail in solitary, and then come out their best fucking self ripped to the tits. It's just a really fucking great album. Like, as death metal albums go this year, I think between this and Job for a Cowboy, I'm doing all right now. See, if death metal, well, I obviously wanted to continue to flourish, but death metal doesn't reach these heights again for the rest of the year, I'm good. I've heard two fucking great death metal albums that encapsulate completely different sides of the genre, but show exceptional songwriting and great utilization. This is brilliant. I wasn't expecting much from this at all, with the fact that I had purged my brain of their existence because it had been that long. I just assumed they'd been continuing to release albums and I just, you know, they possibly weren't very good, and that's why I hadn't heard of them. But I was fucking floored by this. Like, across the board, it's brilliant. And lastly, you mentioned that production. I just want to echo it. It is so fucking good, man. Like, every detail here is clear as well. Good set of headphones on this one, and you just pick out everything.
Yeah.
You can pick out the drummer scratching his arse with his drumstick. That's how detailed the production is on this one. It's impeccable, man.
Nice. Scores for The Deceivers. This is really good, man. This is definitely think this is the best thing they've done. I think their previous albums I would be scoring like anywhere between a 3 and a 4, depending on the album. I think this is a step up. Not quite perfect. I think I was waiting for that kind of emotional hit. I wanted that like lead work to just kind of hit me in the feels, which it didn't quite do.
New lineup though. So first album with a new lineup and it already sounds stronger. What's that next album going to sound
exactly,
like, Dave?
That aside, I think this is fantastic. It's a 4.5 for me. What about yourself?
I'm joining you. 4.5. I think this is fucking great. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this start to finish. Spun it a few times. And every time I got to the end, I was just like, just happy. It's really, 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 really well done. I am so glad they've embraced that side of doing the symphonic kind of compositional stuff in the background. I think it adds a lot, but it doesn't take away one iota to how good they are as musicians. The songwriting in this is absolutely impeccable. So 4.5 from me as well.
Nice. Doth The Deceivers, out on May 3rd on Metal Blade Records. Links below. Check them out. Have a listen. See what you think. That is the review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.